Chapter 4. I decided to go back to London that day, present the facts to Mr. Brough, and obtain an interview, no matter how, with Rachel. "Betteredge," I asked, as we were walking to the station, "have you ever known me to walk in my sleep?" He nodded. "I see your meaning, sir," he replied. "And the answer is no. But if we are to believe the nightgown, then you went to the room that night without knowing it, and you took the diamond without knowing it. How that is possible, I don't know, but if it is, how can the diamond have found its way to London without you knowing it?" I said nothing. I was so upset I couldn't think straight. We reached the station a few minutes early. I noticed Ezra Jennings by the bookstall. He took off his hat to me. In London, I went straight to Mr. Brough's house in Hampstead. He examined the nightgown and read Rosanna Spearman's letter. "Mr. Franklin," he said, "this is a very serious matter, for Miss Rachel as much as for you. Her extraordinary behaviour is no mystery now. She believes you took the diamond. She must be persuaded or forced to tell us why she thinks this. As a lawyer, I can tell you that the evidence against you falls down, firstly, on one important point. There must be proof that you wore that nightgown when it was smeared. There is also Miss Spearman's letter. It shows that she was clever. If Rachel suspected you simply on the proof of the nightgown, then I'm sure it was Rosanna who showed it to her. It was her opportunity to destroy the love between you and Miss Rachel. Search your memory. While you were staying at the house, did anything happen to make Rachel doubt your honesty? I immediately remembered the Frenchman's visit. I had foolishly accepted a loan in Paris. My aunt had paid him, but she had been shocked by my irresponsibility. Rachel heard about it and said some severe things to me. "I must speak to Rachel myself," I said. "I know that somewhere in her heart she still has some affection for me. The question is how? How to see her?" The lawyer gave this some thought. "I'll invite her here the day after tomorrow," he said. "Expect a call from me that morning." The next day was the longest in my life. The day after, Brough came early and gave me a key. "She's coming to lunch and will stay the afternoon. This is the key to the garden gate. At three, let yourself in. The living room door will be open. Go in and open the door into the music room. You'll find her there alone." Later that morning, I received a letter from Betteredge. Jennings had stopped him at the station and asked who I was. Later, he had mentioned me to Dr. Candy. The doctor had said he particularly wanted to see me whenever I returned to Fritzinghall. He asked Betteredge to let me know this. The clock of Hampstead Church struck three as I stepped into the garden. The birds were my only witnesses. I crossed the empty living room to the music room door. She was playing the piano. The tune brought back a wave of memories. I had to wait and pull myself together. Finally, I opened the door.